Hi, this is Craig Ballantyne, host of Early to Rise Radio. Have you ever wanted to become wealthier, healthier, wiser, or just have more time to appreciate the finer things in life? On this show, we reveal what high performers are doing every day to be more successful without sacrificing their personal lives. Early to Rise Radio is sponsored by the Perfect Day Formula. Get your free copy of this game-changing success guide at freeperfectdaybook.com. Now let's get started with today's show. Have you ever wondered, hey, wait a minute, something's not right here? Do the authorities, like the banks and the politicians, do they really have my best interests at heart? Should I really be relying on them, or do I really need to take matters into my own hands? Listen, don't worry if you've ever thought that. You're not crazy, neither am I. And you see, it doesn't hurt to have a plan B in life. It doesn't hurt to build new skills so that you can start your own business or just make more money at work and then generate financial independence. And it wouldn't hurt to have a little property in a country other than your own. And it probably wouldn't hurt to do everything you could to take care of everyone that you love. Now, this might be a new way of thinking to you. And that's what today's guest expert specializes in. He challenges the common knowledge of the world, and he shows you better, faster ways to success. And he also shows you how to put an ironclad suit of armor over your finances and your future, so all that you've worked so hard for, you know that you can keep. So our expert's name today is Simon Black. Back in the day, I was a subscriber of his newsletter for over a year before I first met him in a casino in Las Vegas, and neither of us were gambling. Neither of us were drunk. And the next morning, he wandered into the hotel gym and started doing bodyweight exercises I had never seen before. And that's when I realized we had a lot in common. We knew a lot of interesting people. We've been to a lot of interesting places. And we started something called the Liberty and Entrepreneurship Camp here in Lithuania, where we recorded this interview. Eventually, I even invested in some companies with him. And we help the most ambitious 20 and 30-something-year-olds on the planet come together at this camp and have big breakthroughs and create plan Bs and amazing plan As for their lives. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But today I want to share with you what Simon's current situation is. He runs several businesses, including SovereignMan.com and one of South America's largest agricultural funds. I visited his massive blueberry farm outside of Santiago, Chile, and let me tell you that as a blueberry lover, it is heaven. I can no longer eat blueberries in America or Canada because it's just not the same as having fresh blueberries down in Chile. Now, Simon is also a world traveler, having visited over 100 countries, and he is an expert in work-life balance, and he's, quite frankly, a student of the Perfect Day Formula. I call him a real-world James Bond, and he has a pretty amazing story that you're going to hear about and so much more on today's show. So let's get started with this episode of ETR Radio. And we're going to teach you how to set up a plan B for your life at any age so that you can have true freedom. Early to Rise Radio is sponsored by the Perfect Day Formula. Get your free copy of this game-changing success guide at freeperfectdaybook.com. Simon, welcome to the show. It's great to be here in Lithuania with you for the 8th annual Blacksmith Liberty and Entrepreneurship Camp. So tell us about this mysterious retreat that you are putting on every year that I come and help you with.
Well, come on. It's not my camp at this point. Come on. 8 years, you've been here every year. This is just as much yours as it is part of mine.
So, well, thank you.
I'm offended that you say this is my camp. This is definitely our thing. You've been hugely instrumental in this, and you've really changed so many people's lives, and it's been awesome to see. I mean, it's hard to hear you say 8th annual.
Right.
I mean, I remember when we hit year 5, and we looked at each other, like, God, I can't believe it's been 5 years, and now it's been 8 years. And it just keeps getting better and better every year. But yeah, it's just every year we have about, 60-some-odd young people that come from all over the world. I mean, this year we've got, Botswana, Sri Lanka, New Zealand, Venezuela, Russia, I mean, all over the world. It's great. And basically, you know, it's you, me, and a number of other folks, everybody essentially a highly accomplished entrepreneur, business manager, investor, et cetera. We've got 7 instructors this year, which I think is a record.
Who are these kids that are coming in, these 60 kids?
Well, they're from all over the world. They're a lot of them. I mean, we've had artists, musicians, actors. We've had internet marketers. We've had writers. We've had people that are running businesses, people that want to start businesses. We've had self-employed professionals, really all walks of life. So while we call it the sort of Liberty and Entrepreneurship Camp, entrepreneurship, and I think one of the lessons that we try and instill in everybody is that entrepreneurship doesn't mean starting a business. I think in many respects, entrepreneur is fundamentally about value creation. And you can be a value creator, as an employee, again, as a self-employed professional, as a business owner, as an athlete, as a whatever it is that you're doing, you can be a value creator. Value creation is fundamentally a mindset. And that's really what we try and instill at the camp, or the skills that are necessary to do that.
And then who are the instructors? You mentioned a little bit about them. And what are we teaching them specifically?
That's a good question. That's what we're going to talk about after this interview. We're still actually fleshing out the schedule for the next couple of days. But it's, the other instructors are, I'm sure Matt's been on your, I know Matt's been on your podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Matt Smith, Jeff Schneider, has Jeff been on your podcast before?
No.
Okay. So Jeff is Matt's partner in one of their businesses. Our friend Bill, who's in the music business. My dear friend Marco, who's actually been enormously important in building and growing the agriculture business that I started back in 2013. And Cliff, who runs one of our other businesses out in Australia. So it's, everybody is just involved in a lot of different things in retail and manufacturing and agriculture and wholesale and entertainment. I mean, just, a lot of different industries and experience represented here.
And then what are we trying to get these kids to walk away with? And when we say kids,
we can't say kid anymore.
Right. Well, the older we get, we can say it a little bit.
Well, when we started, the average age was like 21, and now it's like 30. So
right.
I don't think we can say kid anymore.
Right, right. So we are hoping that these individuals walk away with what by the end of the weekend, in addition to an amazing network, of course.
Yeah, that's one of the most important things is the network, is meeting people just like you, because you can feel, I think, quite isolated when you feel that you sort of see the world differently, you have different goals and aspirations than other people that you grew up with. And maybe other people, they don't really aspire to be anything else. And you have these, these dreams and visions and aspirations, and you can feel a little bit isolated, a little bit lonely. And all of a sudden you're thrust in this international environment with people from all over the world who think about these things and share your goals. And I think that's enormously important. But I would say the most important thing for us is I think so many people are, no matter where they are always kind of thinking like, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do next. And for me, that I believe is the most important thing for us to try and highlight for them, is to help them discover for themselves, what am I supposed to do next? Or more importantly, is to turn, can't believe I'm going to paraphrase again, Donald Rumsfeld. I think every time we talk, I paraphrase Donald Rumsfeld. They turn the unknown unknowns into, known unknowns, at least know what you don't know. And then, give them the resources and the drive to figure out what they don't know, and, how they can, learn and continue to develop those skills.
So what would you do if you were the age of one of these campers and you were 25 or 35 years old today and you wanted to take control of your future with all the opportunity that's out there? What would you be doing knowing what you know now?
It's funny because that message has changed so much over the years. I mean, you remember when we first started and the things that we would kind of talk about were so different. It was because we've all grown ourselves personally. Every year, I actually hold myself accountable. This time, every single year, this is sort of how my professional year starts and ends every summer like this, and how I view my own growth and development is on the annual trend just like this, because I hold myself responsible to stand up in front of the group and say, here's what I've done. Here's how I've grown in the last year since the last time I stood up in front of this audience. And, if I were sitting in that audience, the thing that I would hope to be able to take away, and one of the things that we try and instill every year as well, is value creation, again, is about skills. One of the things that you hear a lot about is that people always say, 95% of businesses fail. And the reason why so many businesses fail is because people just don't have the skills. Running a business is a skill. Starting a business is a skill. Growing a business is a skill. It requires skills. And just like, becoming fit, you know, becoming strong, you know, I mean, getting six-pack abs, whatever it is, like you have to put yourself on a plan. You have to have the discipline, the dedication, and learn all these things to conduct open heart surgery. You don't just say, hey, I have a dream of being a surgeon, and I have a knife. Therefore, I'm qualified.
No, well, you have to stay at a Holiday Inn as well.
That's right. Yes, I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express. You know, only in business do people think, I have an idea, therefore I'm qualified to run a business. And the reality is, you're probably not. And it's not a slight against it. How could anybody be qualified to run a business? Because we don't learn about it in school, right? Unless you're lucky enough to grow up in a very entrepreneurial environment with successful entrepreneurs in your family, most people don't grow up around it. You don't learn it in school. So how could anybody really have the skills that it takes to really be a value creator or to run a business? And that takes, you know, the best way to learn something is to learn it from somebody else that has mastered that skill. And that's, I think, that what I would really encourage people to try and think about and understand is that if you really want to learn, you want to be successful, the best way to become successful, it's not rocket science. It's actually really simple. Conceptually, is just learn from successful people. Look at all these successful people and think, okay, what are these people doing? What is that guy doing? What is that lady doing to become really successful? And learn from them. Make yourself as indispensable as possible. And sometimes it even means, if you're lucky enough, even to have a job where you can work for that person. And I mean, what a great thing, because I mean, we waste tens of thousands of dollars on education to get a piece of paper that confers on us, you know, that we were able to drink a lot of beer at university. You know, we spent $50,000 in debt on that. And, you know, but we don't actually come away with the skills. When you have a job and you work for somebody who's incredibly smart and talented, where you can learn those skills, you get paid to learn. I mean, what a great opportunity that is. And I would really encourage people to look at, it that way and just, you know, try and find, you know, really try and learn as much as you can from people that are bright and talented. And, you know, even better if you can actually work for them.
You know, it's funny that you use that story, because I go back and I think now, well, I ended up spending thousands of dollars to hire a coach. And really what I could have done is become an apprentice, a paid apprentice to a mentor, and learn that stuff along the way from a business owner. But I did learn a lot from the business that I worked for when I was in high school. I saw the entrepreneur work ethic and all that sort of stuff. So like you said, it's always best to learn from somebody who is successful. And then you will go out and still you'll have some failures and stumbles, but they won't be such catastrophic failures that you end up losing your business.
That's right.
So for me, I'm in a selfish term, I love coming to this camp because I hang around young, energetic people. They fire me up. They teach me so many things. Do you have any selfishness that you take? Like, what are you looking forward to getting out of the camp in addition to hanging around great people all weekend?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. It's just, I went actually last night to, Victoria came by and picked me up, and we walked over to some little bar here in Vilnius. By the way, if you're listening to this, if you've never been to Vilnius, Lithuania, it is such a cute and lovely city. We've been coming to Lithuania every year. We do the camp at this kind of little resort town outside of the city by a lake. It's this very lovely place. And Vilnius is such a nice, very, very nice city when the weather's nice, which it wasn't so much yesterday. But we went, there was this, you know, this little bar. We went down there and just spent some time, you know, talking to some of the people there. And it's just
kids from the camp.
Yeah, from the camp. They're all there. And it was just such a great experience. I mean, just to be around other people that are so positive and energetic and just so eager to learn. And I remember, I think you summed it up best. Like after the first year, I remember, because I was worried if you were going to come back year two. And I remember I'm like, hey, so what'd you think? Did you like it? And you're like, yeah, it was awesome. I said, what did you like about it? And I think this really encapsulates your feeling and my feeling as well. And you explained to me, you said, man, you know, I put on seminars, I put on events all the time, educational, instructional things. You know, people actually pay me to come to these things. But and you know, this camp, by the way, is free. You know, we pay for it. We fund it for the students. We have a little charity, you know, that we fund, and it pays for this. So the kids don't pay anything. I gotta stop saying kids, man.
I know.
The students don't pay anything. And you're saying, you know, I charge for this. I have events, and they're very successful, and it's great. But I noticed that, you know, these are like grown adults. They come out and they pay me to attend these sessions, and they're sitting there, and you know, a lot of people are, you know, they're texting on their phones the whole time, whatever. And it's like I'm just sitting in this room, and every one of these people is hanging on to my every word, and it's just nice to be in a room where so many people just really want to learn. And it's just so pure. And yeah, of course, I totally feed off of that. It's great. It's great. And it's also, I know, I mean, there's a lot of things about accountability. I mean, and I think, you know, people do this thing with, you know, public accountability, you know, telling everybody, I'm going to lose weight. And, you know, and for me, it's also my own personal accountability, you know, what I was saying earlier, like holding myself accountable to say, I have to, you know, I have to push, I have to achieve more, I have to grow more, because I'm responsible for standing up in front of 60 people who are depending on me to be able to teach them how to become more successful. So I have to become better. I have to do more. And when I think about, again, how, you know, I mean, where you and I started 8 years ago and where we are now in our various lives and business and things like that. I mean, and it's great for me just to have that as a tool. That's a huge reason why I like to keep doing this.
Yeah. And like you said, we do have to step it up every year because, you know, this year we have a PhD in neuroscience. We have returning actors. We have such smart people, people that have sold tech companies, people that have large tech companies, people that probably make more money than I do right now. And it's amazing what these individuals, not kids, but people that are younger than me are doing. And so it really is inspiring. So let's do a little backtracking here, Simon, about your story. Now, how the heck did you end up going from a West Point grad intelligence officer? It was in the U.S. Army?
That's right.
Okay.
Canadian military.
Right. Well, you know, I don't want to say Marines. That'll upset you and that'll upset the Marines. And but, you know, you started out there as a man who just had point to prove and to go there. And, you know, that's got to be one of the most difficult schools to graduate from. And now you're a leader in finance and entrepreneurship. So walk me through that story.
That one's a long one. I'll spare you the full story of it. But I think I was always quite entrepreneurial. It wasn't necessarily anything in the Army or anything like that. Even as a little kid, I remember my first business was I was in second grade and I was, I was selling. One of my buddies, I got him a book from the library and, it was like a little art book and he liked to draw. So I gave him this little book from the library that I got. So I had no upfront capital. And, he was basically like drew these little pictures and I would go around and sell them to all the other kids. And then like, basically, we like split the ice cream up. So I was just always kind of that way. I was always sort of like looking for the angles, looking for something to sell, looking to make something that I could sell. You know, the story of kind of how I ended up in this, you know, exact, you know, position is, you know, that's quite a bit long. And, you know, sort of where Sovereign Man came from and how that, you know, how that led to an agriculture fund and a bank and all these other things, you know, the retail company and all these things. But, you know, it's, I would say the consistent theme about it with me has been that I've traveled a lot, but more importantly, I think I've always been open to all the different opportunities that are out there in the marketplace. And I think there's a fine line between sort of chasing every shiny object that you see and you know, finding things that are really worthwhile. And there's some wisdom in knowing the difference between those, but I've always been very open and kind of looking at the big picture, you know, at different opportunities. And I think there's probably a lot of that in the, you know, in the military that forces you to really look at a lot of big picture things, as well as you know, lots of focus on planning, improvisation, because nothing ever goes according to plan. And I think the biggest thing that probably helped develop that element of my personality is, I think, being an entrepreneur, and again, just a value creator in general. There's sort of, people talk about how entrepreneurs, to run a business, you have to be comfortable with risk. You have to, you know, you have to take big risks and all that stuff. And I've always thought that was bullshit. I think anybody that talks about entrepreneurs having to take big risks either doesn't know what they're talking about or they're confusing terms. I don't think you have to take big risks as an entrepreneur. I mean, because risks are things that, you know, that these are potential consequences that exist, but that can be mitigated.
I thought you were going to say unknown unknowns again.
No, that can be mitigated. There's, you know, okay, well, we're going to spend a ton of money on something, and so we're taking a huge risk. Well, okay, you can mitigate that by testing it first. So you don't have to, you know, have this huge capital expense up front. You know, you can test it and really minimize, you know, the upfront damage. What I do think that entrepreneurs and any value creator has to be comfortable with is not risk, but uncertainty. You have to be very comfortable with uncertain outcomes because you don't know how things are going to turn out. And I think for me, that was a huge part of my own growth and development was, you know, there's a lot of that. You have to be totally comfortable with uncertainty in the military. There's just so much of that. And I think I took that away, you know, when I got out and kind of into business, and it's been definitely a major factor in my life.
So it's being comfortable with the known unknowns.
That's right.
That's right. You know, Warren Buffett has some phrase, I can't remember exactly how it goes, but he talks about what looks like a risk to other people is not risky to him because he's put so much time and effort into studying it. So yeah, sure, it looks risky to Joe Average off the street, but he knows what's coming now. And so how has your judgment changed over the last 10 years, you know, since running the camps, but also running your own businesses as to what opportunities you decide to go after?
Yeah, well, that's just, I mean, the more I grow, the more I become educated, the more I learn, the better I become. The analogy I always make with that is if you think about, some, you know, tax accountant versus some like motorcycle daredevil, right? You know, maybe the tax accountant would never be caught dead, you know, doing crazy things, you know, jumping over monster trucks on his, you know, on a motorcycle at top speed. But the motorcycle guy never in a million years would take an aggressive deduction on his tax return, you know, and it's just, it's all about what you know. And right. So, you know, to the tax accountant, like, he knows exactly what he can get away with, you know, but the motorcycle dude, like, you know, he knows exactly like how fast he needs to be going, at what pitch and angle he needs to hit that jump and all that kind of stuff. And so it's, you know, for them, it's just a matter of what they're comfortable with. And I think the more you learn, the more you know, the less risky stuff becomes. And I believe that to be absolutely true. And it's the same in business. It's the same in investing. You and I have funded startups and things like that. And again, you know, these are things that are, you know, they're risks, but these are risks that can be mitigated because you get somebody comes to you and says, I need $1 million. Well, no, you probably don't need $1 million. You probably need more like $15,000 is where you really need to get started. And then let's see how you progress on your plan. And if it works, then, you know, now the deal is de-risked and we can, you know, we can come back and maybe fund it a little bit more and see how that goes. And that really reduces the risk for the investor. You know, and it's the same in business, but ultimately, it does require being comfortable with that uncertainty, being uncomfortable in a situation where you don't know how it's going to turn out. Could it turn out good? Could it turn out bad? And you need to be comfortable, I think, in either one of those scenarios.
Very good. So it sounds like over the years you have built up experience putting in place plan A and plan B for yourself. And here at the camp, it's almost like we're showing them how to maximize their plan A and also how to plan B. And in your business, you really help people create their own plan B. So what might you say to somebody who's a little bit more mature in their years and thinking that they can't go and create a plan B for their life, that they're stuck in their ways or they're stuck in their town? You've helped so many people from all walks of life really to get true freedom. So what would you say in terms of shifting that mindset?
Well, you know, I think a lot of folks, again, if you're later in life and you've got family and kids and mortgage and you know, you're not really as mobile as you used to be. And you know, you have a lot of things. I mean, the older we get, the more tethered we become to our current reality. But that's not a reason why, you know, you can't change things. It might be, you know, it might really be too difficult for somebody to go out and you know, start a new business or something like that. There are certain realities that, you know, that for a lot of folks, they might not be able to get there for certain personal constraints, but that doesn't mean that you can't fundamentally change your own reality and become more. I mean, I think what a lot of folks are really looking for is, how do I make more money? That I think really comes down to learning how to become a bigger, better value creator. And again, you can do that as an employee. Employees that are creating more value for the companies they work for are more highly valued by the company, end up making more money. I think, and again, it's the same with fundamentally what any successful business is. But the other one, I think, for anybody, everybody, and this is one of the points we make every year at the camp, is that there is no substitute for financial literacy. I think this is so incredibly important, especially the older we get, because the decisions that we make in terms of capital allocation become that much more critical. And just these little things like how you structure your retirement account or the investments that you make, are you following the most popular investments out there, or are you really, do you understand what you've invested in and why and how it fits into your big picture plan, where you see your life going and so forth? These are enormously important decisions that a lot of people outsource to somebody else who couldn't give a shit about you, you know, who's just some, you know, faceless, you know, bureaucrat in some large organization, some big financial institution. And I think that a lot of people do just outsource their entire financial future, the value of all their savings, all the investment returns, for the rest of their lives to somebody else. And I think that's actually quite a dangerous practice. It's not to say that people shouldn't have money managers or anything like that, but I think you absolutely have to understand money. There's that great quote that I told you last night over dinner, and it's by, it came from a historian who's long since passed. His name was Will Durant. And he's an amazing writer, very prolific writer. And one of the things that he wrote once, he said, he might have been quoting somebody else, but I think it came from him originally. He said, "Men who can only manage men who can only manage things, but men who can manage money manage all." And if you think about that, it's totally true. And realistically, I think is a huge point to say, it just does make so much sense to just truly understand money. Because if you understand money, and it doesn't matter what you do, if you're a paralegal or a garbage collector or a personal trainer or online marketer or anything else, I think you absolutely have to understand money and finance, become financially literate, and be able to make intelligent decisions about how you allocate your capital. And just that point alone, educating yourself better about finance and money and investing, will have such an enormous impact on your life and your long-term security. It is the one thing that absolutely everybody needs to understand. And that's, if I were a little bit older and I felt more constrained by my circumstances, that's definitely one of the things that I'd make sure that I knew how to do. Because, you're talking about over the long term, being able to, being financially literate enough to be able to, to be able to put your money into a better retirement structure, to be able to save, be able to carve out an extra $500, $2,000 a year from fees that you're no longer paying because you understand the structures better, to be able to make even just an extra 2 or 3% per year over the long term. This stuff adds up to hundreds of thousands of dollars over the long term, which, there's hardly anybody who's listening to this that can't think that that can have a significant impact on their life over the future. So I just think that is such an important skill for anybody to have.
Where do they start?
Great question. Like anything, what I was saying earlier, if you want to be financially literate, learn from financially literate people. I think that, there's so many things, and probably a lot of folks that might have read a number of these books, but a lot of the great big picture stuff out there, a lot of the early books, especially by Robert Kiyosaki. I love Robert. I've been extremely blessed. I've been able to, develop a great personal relationship with him. I just saw him not too long ago. They just came out with the 20th anniversary of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I think everybody should read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and many of the follow-on books that they have, Cashflow Quadrant, a lot of those. I think reading The Intelligent Investor, it is the best. If somebody could read one book on investing, I think it should be The Intelligent Investor. This is the one that Warren Buffett says this is the best book out there. And I think, honestly, if you want to understand investing from who's the most successful investor in the world? Warren Buffett. Well, you're probably not going to be able to hang out with Warren Buffett. You're probably not going to be able to learn directly from Warren Buffett, but you can read a lot that Warren Buffett himself has written. And there's so much of this stuff. One of the things that's most interesting about Warren Buffett is this guy he's become one of the wealthiest men in the world. But not only that, as he's basically told everybody, hey world, here's exactly how I became absurdly rich. This is my investment strategy. He's put his own playbook out there for everybody else to follow. If you just pay attention, he said, here's what I do. Here's exactly what I do. Here's my mindset. Here's how I select stocks. Here's how I do everything. And he just writes it down for everybody and anybody who wants to learn from him. And the thing is, most people go, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. I don't know what it is, but even though he's the most successful guy in history when it comes to investing, people just don't listen to him. There's this entire, finance industry where there's this nucleus of people and they try and do all this algorithmic stuff and high frequency, this, that. But here's this guy, Warren Buffett, year after year after year, he's just consistently being the market and making great returns through this strategy that he just writes out there for everybody. You can read every shareholder letter, these annual report that he's written with Berkshire Hathaway. There are lots of books. He's written lots of articles that have been published, and it's not rocket science. It's something I think is very, very easy for anybody to understand. So there's a couple of examples, but I can't emphasize enough what an important skill this is.
That's really great. So at your website, sovereignman.com, you guys teach about how to go and create that plan B for your life, making sure that you're going to be financially successful in all areas and prepared for, you know, bad things to happen in the future, which they may or may not. So what is the big message you're trying to get across there through your newsletter and your podcast?
I would say it's pretty simple. If you look at the world, particularly a number of countries in the West, there are just a lot of governments in particular that have racked up enormous amounts of debt. I'm a student of history. Again, this is not rocket science. I think it's pretty easy to understand conceptually, as well as we can look to history and see that generally whenever governments have enormous amounts of debt, or they, you know, they're constantly printing money, conjuring hundreds of billions, trillions of dollars out of thin air, this is usually not the path to prosperity. In the past, what made so many of these countries great was that people were very hardworking, and it was all about, life was all about saving and production. And today, that model has really changed to debt and consumption. People are constantly going into debt to consume, and it's no longer about production and savings. And again, that's just simply not the path to prosperity. And so what we try and do is just simply say, hey, look, you know, maybe it's all fine, but generally speaking, looking through history, this is not the path to prosperity. And anytime this has happened in the past, there have typically been a wide range of problems. And so we just try to educate people about, say, hey, look, you know, this could be one of the biggest stories that we've ever seen. We're talking about some of the largest, most powerful economies in the world that are entirely insolvent. And I'm going to say, look, don't take my word for it. You can look it up yourself. The Treasury Department of the United States publishes these numbers every single day. You know, you can read this stuff. They have their own annual reports and things you can read. And it's quite shocking when you actually sit down and read that. And it's probably not the greatest thing in the world, you know, these huge economies and huge countries and huge governments are totally bankrupt. So all we do is say, look, maybe nothing ever happens. If so, great. Maybe some bad things do happen as a result of that, in which case it would follow the historical pattern. In our case, all we say is, look, just have a plan B. Smart, intelligent, thinking, rational people, they look at obvious risk and say, hey, there might be a problem there. I mean, we have fire insurance on our homes. We have car insurance, and for our cars, we have health insurance, we have life insurance, and all these sorts of things. All we're really sort of doing is saying, look, you know, this is, think of it as like an insurance policy, you know, for the fact that, you know, there are these sort of huge macro sovereign risks that exist. And we just come up with very simple ways that folks can insure themselves against those risks. And, you know, the fundamental ethos of that is that, you know, you always want to make sure, I think, like any good insurance policy, that anything that you're doing is something that makes sense no matter what might happen or not happen next. If nothing bad ever happens, then you'll still be fine. And you know, if there are some consequences that come from these things down the road, then you're definitely going to be okay. And that's the whole point of everything that we're really trying to talk about, to get people to try and build what we call this plan B. And it's not, you know, it's not crazy. It's not irrational. Rational thinking, intelligent people have a plan B, especially in light of you know, what are pretty clear risks.
That's really great advice, and it's clear and simple for people to get started on. Now, you're not only successful in business, but you also travel the world, you produce a lot of content, you're incredibly productive, you stay in great physical shape. What are your habits for success and productivity? Because, again, you are on the road a lot. You have to adapt and adjust to different time zones, and you're crisscrossing here and there, but you have a lot of people in your business to manage. So how do you get it all done?
Well, that's changed a lot over the years. I've learned a lot from you. You're a great role model, and I call Craig Ballantyne the most disciplined man alive. It's impressive. Although I saw what was in your shopping cart today at the grocery store.
I got one vice.
He has his vice. Look, you know, I think at the end of the day, it was discipline. I mean, being on the road, it's easy to kind of slack off and eat crappy food and not go to the gym, but I mean, you just got to do it. You just build it into your day. You build it into your routine. You go to the gym, you eat healthy. You create structure in your life. You create your own, it's different for everybody. I have my own routine and my own systems in place to manage the people that are under me. I mean, I've got five different companies and 500 employees to, you know, that I'm ultimately responsible for. And doing all that fundamentally comes down to, you know, having great people under you and building those systems and reporting mechanisms and things like that in place. I've always had the goal of everything that I get involved in, I want to try and make myself entirely superfluous so I don't have to be involved. And if I'm not there, then, you know, the organization goes on without me. That's always the goal. But yeah, I mean, it's really just discipline and systems. And you're definitely, you've been a huge
I think, help and inspiration, for me and seeing that and really having me up my own game. I don't get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And so you're always going to have me beat on that. But I would say, actually, one of the things you tell people every year is, look, it doesn't matter what time you get up, just, get up and go to bed at the same time. And I will say that when I started doing that years ago, how much better I feel just, going throughout the day. I'm never tired. I'm never, all that stuff. And that's really been a huge thing for me, just getting up in the morning at the same time, going to bed at the same time, getting regular exercise and eating well. I mean, staying fit, staying healthy. It's not rocket science. I'm not in the same shape that I was when we started doing this camp, but it's not rocket science to just stay in stay in pretty good shape.
Well, you aren't perfect. So, what's a Simon Black guilty diet pleasure? And what about trashy magazines or television shows? Do you read any of those or watch any of those when you travel? So, let's confess something fun here.
Does anybody read magazines anymore?
I don't know. I mean,
I
get them sent to me.
Yeah, you get them sent to you. I don't, because I travel. I don't do anything physical. But I mean, I've got everything on a Kindle. I don't think I read anything too guilty. I was looking on my Kindle. I mean, everything is basically nonfiction. I've got Neil deGrasse Tyson's book about astrophysics, and there's a lot of history and stuff like that.
What's your favorite history book for people that want to understand the financial? Is it like the Rise and Fall of Great Empires?
My favorite book, and it's a quick read, and it's one by the guy I mentioned, Will Durant. It's called Lessons from History. Just what a great book. It's a quick and easy read, and I recommend it for everybody. You just learn so much about it. I mean, history is fundamentally the story of ourselves, the story of our own species, the story of all people that came before us. And we're human beings. We like to talk about other people and, people's lives and what they're doing. And history is that as well. It's understanding, people and their lives and their deeds and all the things that people are doing. It's just, people that came long before us. And I think you really learn so much more about yourself and what's happening in the present. You start seeing, you realize that nothing that's happening is new. It's all been done so many times before. And you start seeing these same patterns over and over again. And it's, again, it's the stuff we talk about a lot in Sovereign Man. But I don't know, back to guilty pleasure. I threw a couple of Snickers bars in my shopping cart today.
You will earn them.
I'm not ashamed to admit it. I know I will. We'll do lots of Punisher Maximus, and it'll be all good.
One other book you recommended me this year was Charlie Chaplin's autobiography, and that was a very, very interesting read. So Simon is always good for book recommendations. So finally, to someone listening at any age, what are your words of wisdom for getting started on having a plan B, or heck, even having a plan A in the first place, that gives to someone the financial insurance against those institutions that seem to want to control the rules?
Well, again, just to kind of reiterate a couple of points, I'd say in summary, you have to take responsibility for yourself. You have to really focus on education as the most important thing. And learning from other people who have mastered whatever it is that you're trying to learn, learning from successful people if you want to be successful, is really what makes the most sense. Financial literacy is enormously important. Discipline, I think, and I know you talk about that a lot. It is possible for everybody. Look, you get up a little bit earlier, you structure your day better to find that you have more time to do the things that you want to do, whether it's to build a business or educate yourself or develop your financial literacy. And, again, that last point about, understanding money, understanding finance, understanding investing, it doesn't matter what you do, that is just enormously important, and just can't emphasize enough what a huge impact that can have on your life.
Very good. So we're off to go and spend 4 days at the Blacksmith Camp. We're going to have a lot of fun with these, not kids.
Five days
of great fun with these individuals, and we are going to help them create an amazing plan. Then we're going to end with the Arnold Schwarzenegger video.
Right. End with the Arnold video
of how he went off and stole away to his first bodybuilding show. So you can probably watch that on YouTube, which is an amazing inspirational video, which is how we cap off the week. But in addition to that, in addition to coming back next year to Vilnius and doing our 9th annual Blacksmith Camp, and then preparing for the 10th, the big 10th, what else do you have planned for Sovereign Man, for your agricultural fund, for your travels, for the next year?
Probably my biggest focus over the next year will be continuing to grow and develop my bank, which I started a little bit ago, and it's been an incredibly exciting venture. Starting a bank is not for the faint of heart. There's an enormous amount of regulation and things which we're working through a lot of that. But that'll be a big focus of mine over the next year, and a few other things up my sleeve that probably not ready for publication just yet. But maybe we'll talk about those this time next year.
And will you host me back at the farm in Chile
for
blueberries?
Absolutely, anytime. Yeah, this the harvest season starts in early November, so I expect to see you for the morning harvest.
And how many acres of blueberries do you have down there?
Oh God, more than we have about 5,000 in total in terms of all the farmland we have, and blueberries are number. We grow walnuts as well. Blueberries are number one.
And that allows me to eat 4 pints of blueberries in a day, which is, that was my Super Bowl Sunday cheat meal, 4 pints of blueberries. All right. Thank you so much, Simon Black. This was a lot of fun doing this show. I'm sure we'll do one again before next year, maybe even after the camp for what we learn. So thanks everybody for listening to Early to Rise Radio. This was definitely a unique show that you probably won't hear anywhere else. I hope you enjoyed it, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye, everyone. All right, so I'd love to hear what you're going to do to start your journey to financial literacy. Please send me your feedback to support@earlytorise.com or on social media at instagram.com/realcraigvalentine, twitter.com/craigvalentine, or craigvalentinefanpage.com. Thanks for listening to Early to Rise Radio. Please head over to iTunes and rate today's show and share it with your friends. And don't forget, as Simon Black taught us, the secret to success in living a life on your terms is to build the discipline to dominate your days. Get the blueprint to daily domination that he uses at freeperfectdaybook.com.